KSCU Santa Clara presents. Robots Attack. Movies. TV. Video games. Comic books. Tech stuff. News. Music. If it is geek, it's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at RobotsAttackMe, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Center talk show here on KSCU Santa Clara. 103.3 FM, the underground sound. I am Joe, and with me is...
Caleb.
And Jason.
We're both here.
Yay! And I'm here. So, gentlemen, how have you been since last we spoke on the air?
I've just been tired, but other than that.
Tired, not sick, but just tired?
A little sick here and there.
Oh, that's not good.
Mostly tired, though.
Okay. Yeah.
Mostly.
Mostly. Mostly come at night.
Right. Never at the same time.
Mm.
That's where I draw the line. I don't want both.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. That's never fun.
Right. Yeah. No, nobody wants that.
Yeah.
Pretty, relatively quiet for me. Not too much exciting. I watched Dread again for the again. I like that movie. It's deliciously violent. I can't explain why I like it so much.
It's always so weird whenever I find out these things about Caleb. I never think of him as a violent man. But he does. He loves the violence. That's all there is to it.
It's true.
I like Dread at least.
Dread the act of terror, or
no? Like... Dread the film,
right?
Judge Dread, but not the
wait,
movie.
Wait, Judge Dread, the one with Sylvester Stallone, or Dread with Carl Urban?
I'm going with Carl Urban because I am the law is not my idea of, you know, what Dread was like.
I mean, the other one is a result of terror.
yeah, that's the result of terror.
Watch it in
terror.
makes sense.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, well, if you're unfamiliar with the show, we are a talk show that talks about stuff.
Right. Like we've been doing.
Exactly.
See, you have a primer for it already, even before we introduced exactly how it's supposed to be.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And something else we like for you to do.
Oh, yes.
Is Dread.
No, it's totally awesome when you interact with us on the internet. Via Facebook or Twitter. If you do a search on Facebook for Robots Attack, that's two words, you will find us. Our page is there. Or you can find us on Twitter, where our handle is Robots Attack Me. And if you just want to like send us an email, like it's, you know, past our regular hour or whatever, you can find it. You can hit us up on email at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And lastly, all of the things that I described can be found on the under the interact button on robotsattack.me, which is our own website, where you also can find very cool archive episodes of all of our shows there.
Exactly. And
or extremely cool.
And if you're interested in free radio time, KSCU loves to broadcast announcements about local nonprofits and government agencies. You can email traffic at ksu.org with information on services or upcoming events. And we will consider making an announcement for your organization.
Because we love it.
Yes. Yeah, yes, cool. We do. I, in fact, did that such thing, which you will hear the PSA for the thing that I did such of that.
Mm-hmm. It's a good one. It's
a very good one. It is. So we've got a good show for you all. We have a brand new segment that
we
will be debuting later in the show. And, of course, we will have game discussion. We played a few games. Some... sort of new.
Some revisit.
Some old,
yeah,
exactly.
Some fresh on the slate.
mm-hmm.
or off the slate. Something like that.
Something like that. Yeah. And of course, we will bring you
grill, fresh off the grill.
Fresh, okay.
I don't think there's any slate involved in grills usually.
Not typically.
Well, so much. Maybe the countertop.
Somebody should make a grill out of slate. Maybe. I don't know. Anyway.
Sounds tough to clean.
Enough of our invention portion.
Yeah, there was the new segment.
No.
And of course, we will bring you the news.
Yes.
But before all of that stuff, I'm going to hit you up with the top five box office from over the weekend.
All right.
In at number one, should be no surprise to anyone, Insidious Chapter 2.
Right. Okay. Which, I thought it was going to be Planes made like a massive rebound.
I almost went with that joke and then decided not to.
Thanks for leaving it for me.
Yeah. I threw you a bone. Speaking of Insidious, did finally get a chance to catch it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, and yeah, pretty good.
Kind of an interesting change on things.
Yeah. When you compare it to like Paranormal Activity or something like that.
Or Chernobyl Diaries.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of radiation.
Any of those styles.
Yeah.
However, they both have gas masks. So
very true.
Yes.
Although now you just ruined it for Caleb.
And
the audience who didn't see Chapter One of Insidious yet. But anyway, that made about 40 million bucks.
Okay.
Number two, The Family.
Okay.
Which made about 14 million. Number three, dropping from number one.
Oh,
awesome. Riddick.
Okay.
6.8 million. Then we have, still staying in the top five, Lee Daniels the Butler.
Okay.
5.5 million. And because the two love to hang out together for some reason, number five is We're the Millers with 5.4. Those two are always like together.
Yeah. They were number one and number two for a long time. And now they're
Millers and Daniels.
Exactly. Well, honey, like, the Butler sold out. Oh, want to see what the Millers are up to? All right. Oh, the Millers just sold out. Want to see what the Butler's doing?
It sounds like Bartles and James or something like that.
It's entirely possible.
Right. Maybe
somewhere out there. So that's your top five from the previous weekend. Now,
if you want...
Say you don't want to see any of those.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You want to see something new. Well, I've got something new for you.
Okay.
We got number one with Enough Said. That's the first one I'm throwing out there.
Okay.
I mentioned this one because it's got James Gandolfini in it. You know, he died. So this is, I don't know if this is his last one or one of his last ones.
Okay.
It's definitely up there. Also, Julie Louis-Dreyfus is in it too.
Okay.
If that, you know, if you're interested.
Right.
Seinfeld
cool.
or, you know, the,
her other
Veep,
shows.
Veep, I think. Is
yes.
Okay. Then out that we have Battle of the Year. We've got The Colony. Generation Iron. We've got In Search of the American Dream. This is the name of the movie, Jewtopia.
Right.
Huh.
My Lucky Star. Probably the biggest release for the week, Prisoners, with Hugh Jackman, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember seeing the trailers for that one.
I haven't.
The children get taken and... Hugh Jackman, and I think we saw it with one of the movies that we bum rushed in August.
Wow. Okay. I must have been half asleep.
It had the first Iron Man's buddy before he got replaced.
Oh, still don't remember.
Okay. Well.
Now I remember.
Now it's coming to you.
Yeah. Okay.
Then you got a single shot
of Heard Round World
of Thanks for Sharing.
Aha.
And because you can't get enough of IP Man, this is IP Man, The Final Fight.
Right.
It's pronounced IP.
I know, but I like to say IP Man.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Most white people do.
Yeah. There you go. Movies coming out. The plethora of films for you to check out.
Right on. So if... that isn't quite tickling your fancy. You want to, you're more just want to hang out at the house and watch something on the big screen. These DVD and Blu-ray selections might be something to add to your collection. A Big Love Story. Is that on DVD? It's about a...
Does that have anything to do with Big Love? Or?
No, it's about a...
it's about IP Man.
A former football player.
In Utah?
And a former football player. They team up. He teaches them how to play football.
How modern.
He teaches them how to master the art of martial arts.
Oh, okay.
And love.
Of Big Love. Okay, okay.
Also, Arrow Season 1 came out.
Oh, neat.
Bates Motel.
Okay.
Season 1 also released. This is going to... they're going to drop tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
A new animated feature called Daddy, I'm a Zombie.
A coherent zombie, apparently.
Very. A movie called Drift... about surfing in Australia.
Oh, okay. I thought it was the sequel to Drive, except in the Tokyo street racing scene.
There you go. Then there is Grimm Season 2.
Okay.
A movie called Playing for Time, based on a play called Playing for Time. It's about a book.
It makes more sense as a play.
Based on the book, Lee Daniels, the butler.
Based on a true story
by Precious
of several musicians and performers from that were in Auschwitz, and they have their life is their life expectancy extends, and also they help cheer up their fellow prisoners with the gift of music. It's interesting.
Now I feel bad. I'm like joking around during it.
Well, see, we brought attention to it. Now people are going to remember it because of all the things that we said instead of,
right.
Like, I remembered
yes.
something about a football guy and IP man, like,
right.
learning about football and love.
We're doing a public service.
Yes. Then there's Sophia the First, which is a kind of a different spin on the idea of the Disney princess, where she is learning to be a princess because she was born as a commoner. That's a TV show.
No, I've seen that one, too.
Then there is World War Z out on Blu-ray and DVD this week as well.
Okay.
And no princesses in that one. Right?
No princesses in that one. Okay. And if you're, in case you're wondering, no, the book is not like the movie, other than the fact that it has zombies in it.
Other than it has Brad Pitt in both of them.
I don't think Brad Pitt's in the book.
Yeah, and don't take that paper. That's not scratch paper. You want scratch paper?
And I'll that rounds out our
scratch
our,
paper. See, isn't this fun
DVDs.
Radio?
I'm okay. I cannot draw for like a moment or two.
Okay, moving on to the video games. We've got this gigantic release this week, which I'm sure if you know anything about video games, you kind of heard about this one. But just in case you didn't know, Grand Theft Auto V is dropping this week.
What?
We also have The Wonderful 101 for the Wii U. Mm-hmm. We have The Legend of Zelda The Wind Waker HD for the Wii U. We have Takedown Red Saber. We have Urban Trial Freestyle. Mm-hmm. We have for the Xbox Live Arcade Foul Play. We have Hot Wheels, World's Best Driver. We have, it looks like, a tie-in to Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2 for the 3DS. And I will finish it off with probably the one that everyone's been waiting for. I know I said GTA 5 at the beginning, but I think this is the one that will take it.
You buried the lead.
Farm for Your Life. Farm for Your Life!
Is that Farmville 2?
Farm for Your Life.
Okay. It's Farm for Your Life.
Yes.
Alrighty, over in comic book dumb, things you might want to add to your pull list before New Comics Wednesday. Batman number 23.3, The Penguin. Then there is Justice League number 23.3, Dial E. And this one's a spinoff from the Dial M storyline.
M for murder, or is it something else?
No, I'm sorry, Dial H. Sorry, Dial H is the one that it was.
Dial H for...
Hero.
Hockey pants.
for hotcakes. No. over on the Marvel side, Infinity number 3 is releasing. It's the conclusion to the Infinity story arc.
Right. How can you conclude Infinity?
Well, you can conclude the story arc about Infinity.
Think about that, people. Think about that.
It's deep. It's deep.
It's very deep.
Heavy, Doc.
It's infinitely deep.
And then there's Superior Spider-Man number 18. This time,
Is that now?
No, it's not part of the now line, I don't think. But it's but he is squaring off against Spider-Man 2099.
Ooh. Is he now?
All right.
Mm-hmm. So that should be kind of interesting.
Now. This time from the future. As opposed to the future now. It's now.
Right.
No. It's Buzzkill, number one from Dark Horse. It's about a hero who gets his superpowers from drinking alcohol, but he wants to clean up his life. So
okay.
That's almost as good as Cloak and Dagger. Or is it better? I don't know.
And then there is X-Files Season 10.
The movie starring Dabney Goldman.
The comic book.
Okay.
Where the heroes got their powers from drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Drugs are bad.
Drugs are really bad, yo.
It's really a cautionary tale.
Right.
So X-Files season number 10, season 10, number 4 from IDW Publishing. It's number 4. It's continuing the storylines. There's more aliens, more conspiracies. It's sort of awesome.
More.
As 3 was doing. 4 continues onward.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Further sets the story in motion.
Right. It keeps going with that.
Perhaps posing more questions than actually answering
anything. Okay.
Previous questions.
That sounds just perhaps. Like that. Mm-hmm. It sounds just like
Then there is Zero, number 1. No, it's the word Zero is the title and the first issue. So
okay.
Just so it's not too confusing.
And not related to the character from Borderlands 2.
Correct.
Okay.
This is from Image Comics. An elite assassin is sent after a terror device.
Whoa.
But the device is a living being. Whoa. And there's an army willing to kill to get the device, quote unquote, for their side. In a world where devices...
2K Games, I hope you're listening to this. I think some ideas were taken.
What? No. So anyways, that rounds out the comics and the shelves. If you are interested in comics on the web, and you are a fan of Dune, like I know one of our hosts here is, you might want to check out calvinanddune.tumblr.com. Now, this is in the grand tradition of Garfield Minus Garfield, where they take classic comic strips and they've remixed them a little bit. In this case, they're remixing classic Calvin and Hobbes with quotes from Dune.
They can have Calvin in, like, the fade. Speedo?
No, unfortunately not. It's really just the comic
strip.
It was
like a hard top Speedo, too.
Yeah.
It was not a soft Speedo.
So the
it was like an alien queen bred a Speedo onto his crotch.
And then you see Garfield. He's like, oh, right. Bad. Oh, Calvin.
It's like you're floating around.
Beautiful. I know we're mixing worlds here.
Yeah,
right.
Because
right.
You mentioned the Garfield.
Especially since we started off with Garfield minus Garfield. And then promptly made a reference to Garfield.
That's true. Mm-hmm. You know what, though?
No.
Speaking of animals.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I got a PSA about animals here.
Yay.
So it ties in perfectly.
Okay.
It's about the San Jose Animal Advocates.
I will tolerate this.
If you're an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes, but have limited time to volunteer, you can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org. That's all one word. Or look for them on Facebook. That's where I found them. So, yeah, I think that sounds like a good web recommendation there.
Yeah.
It's that's a combination I never would have expected.
Yeah, it threw me off too. And the part that I thought was really interesting is that the creative integrity is actually not as far off as you might expect, because Calvin and Hobbes was known for being a little more philosophical, and many of the quotes that they pull from Dune are more about like the philosophical aspects of like man dealing with religion and power and politics and freedom and stuff like that. So it's actually
that wouldn't work as well with the newer Dune books.
Yeah, so all the boring stuff, huh?
It's classic Herbert, and you can tell by some of the sentence structure. I was like, wow, this was written in a different time, but it's actually quite good. I was rather pleased with the results of this.
They're really good, really well-written books. But if you want to just jump right into some of that setting, I recommend the newer ones because they're much more action-y.
A little bit more approachable as a novelization.
Yes. They're more in tune with this time and place, which means that people have no attention span.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
I don't remember.
Well, it doesn't matter, because we're done with that.
Oh, okay.
We're now going to move on to our music break, which we will play some music for you. And then after that, we will come back with the news.
Right.
So,
Or the news as we see it.
Yes.
Which is the fun news.
Yeah.
So, totally.
About geeky stuff.
So usually the stuff you don't hear everywhere else.
Exactly.
We try to bring you. At least that's what Caleb and Jason try to do. So, the music I'm going to play the band New Politics, the track Stuck on You from the album A Bad Girl in Harlem, and then I will follow that with Ash Reeder with Little Sandy from the album Ola. So, again, you are listening to Robots Attack here on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. We will be right back after this music break.
Wait for us.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
That's right. We are now in the news here at Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Central talk show here on KSU Santa Clara. 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. All right. What do we have for him?
Okay. Some people have come up with an interesting bit of technology. Everybody's familiar with breaking something plastic and being frustrated that there's like no way to fix it whatsoever because super glue only does so much and whatnot. Yeah.
Or sometimes fogs it or messes it up even more.
Yeah, all manner of different problems. Well, some people in Spain at CIDETEC, Center for Electrochemical Technologies, have developed a new healing polymer. It's a world's first. It doesn't require any sort of glue or anything. Basically, right now it looks like it's kind of a gummy type of material, but I assume the goal is to make it so it's an actual sturdy thing. But you can break it in half, cut it, whatever, and all you have to do is stick it back together and let it sit for a couple hours, and it remolds into a solid piece again, just by its own
proximity to itself.
Right.
Interesting. That has all sorts of interesting possibilities. Like the handle broke, and just stick it back together. Over your CD case or whatever. It's like just push these things back together.
I want my CDs made out of this stuff. That's what I want. And then we're all set. I might re-evaluate my views on digital stuff.
Digital downloading your games to your console. Sort of awesome.
Because, I'm pretty good at breaking my CDs. I never mean to be, But yeah, if they could start making CDs out of this stuff, I don't think it's probably going to work on the aluminum coating. So next, they got to work on aluminum that works this way. And I think that's just right around the corner.
Oh, yeah.
It's possible. Well, from plastic that can heal itself to video games being used to treat childhood bedwetting.
Okay.
I snagged this story from Polygon. Pediatric urologists in Austin, Texas, are using video games to help children who frequently wet the bed or suffer from other urinary accidents, KVUE News reports, in a treatment called biofeedback therapy. Children are given a series of exercises to do to strengthen their pelvic floor muscles. They then begin the video game therapy, which involves having small electromyogram pads attached to their legs.
Whoa. Oh, okay. Legs. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. these pads detect muscle movements and twitches, and the characters in the games are controlled through the contraction and release of these muscles. Quote, "The challenge was really looking at a way to help children identify muscles that they didn't even know they had," said Leslie McQuiston, a pediatric urologist at Children's Urology. In one game shown in KVUE's report, a child plays as a fairy who has to transform bees into tiny pink fairies. Okay. Using her pelvic muscles, she activates each transformation whenever the bees encounter her character. The muscles that she is learning to control are the same ones used to control urinary incontinence. Yes. Huh. Words, they work when you say them right. According to the report, some children only need to do the pelvic floor exercise while others need the full biofeedback therapy with the video games.
Okay.
So, see, there you go. More things video games are helping.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't necessarily just sitting around making people violent.
Yeah.
They don't do that.
Which they don't do. It's not the games that makes people violent, it's the lag. Ba-dunts.
Nice. Nice recovery.
And there's plenty of that to go
around. Here on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound on Robots Attack. Yes, got the station.
Perfect.
ID.
Nice. Well done. So there, as you know, we as people generate a fair amount of waste, both in terms of stuff that comes from packaging or the...
Everything that comes out of my mouth.
That's a different kind of waste.
It's a good segue.
But, you know, there's also a lot of, you know, the food we eat becomes a certain kind of waste. And it's a rather generally unusable
form of waste.
People
don't like touching it, is what you're saying.
Yeah. It's generally seen as not a good idea.
At least most people in the Western world. I mean... I don't know that there's any place where it is considered good. But.
Yeah. I think that kind of covers the globe. No one really wants to deal with it. But if we can find a way to, but it still has a fair amount of energy inside of it, even though we can't process all of it, there could be some way of reusing this in a form that isn't completely stupid.
Somebody's working on burning it like cow patties, aren't they?
No, they're working on making a battery out of it.
Oh, wow. Okay. Didn't see that coming.
microbial fuel cells are under design and development. Okay. You know, typically cathode transitions electrons to reduce oxygen. However, some oxygen typically diffuses across bacteria, which can be used directly instead of transferring electrons to the fuel cell itself. So basically, they're using bacteria as a way to create electricity.
Okay.
There are several of these. What's the research firm that's working on this? I'll have to find that section again. But anyway, there's a lot. It's a really cool idea because if we can take the idea of if we can harness the stuff that is. You know, not being used for any other purpose and is kind of, you know, polluting areas of our world that even we don't know how to deal with just yet. If we can turn that to a practical purpose that is solving the looming energy dependency problems that we're facing with the fossil fuel decline and people trying to turn to other sources of energy, this might be a way to make the density of a city actually work in its favor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very actually. True. Very true.
So anyway, that's a very cool story from Ars Technica.
If you're into that sort of stuff. Me personally, I'm into different types of batteries. ones that I don't mind being around. ones that are filled with hot air.
Hot air? How do you make a battery out of hot air?
Well, they've been working on it for a while. Kind of the downside of a lot of the clean energy that's out there is that because it's generated during off-peak hours or whatnot, you have to have ways to store it. People have used conventional batteries of all sorts. Mm-hmm. But the bad thing about almost every battery there is that it's actually kind of horrible for the environment.
A little bit wasteful, a little bit toxic.
Right. So somebody figured out that you can have effectively a zero-waste, zero-toxicity battery just by converting all of the energy that is kept from stuff into air in pressurized tanks.
Okay.
And then that way, all you have to do is bleed off the air, and you get the exact same amount of energy back again.
That's a really interesting idea.
Well, then not exact same, but really close is the idea.
And they would, and then you wouldn't need an extra thing to turn the turbines because you already have the pressurized air to do it and the heat.
Exactly. Mm. So this idea has been around for a little while, and they've made things that can store up to a kilowatt level of this energy, which is pretty respectable.
Yeah.
But a new company in, I can't remember exactly where. Anyway, a new company called Sustain X. I don't know if it's supposed to be Sustain 10 or series, but anyway, Sustain X is up.
It's going 90s, putting the X on stuff.
Okay.
Like
SpaceX. It's true. Cool. Yeah. They're doing it all over the place.
Mm-hmm. 90s are back.
Anyway, they managed to make a 1.5 megawatt, power holder, so to speak. That it's basically an entire farm of giant pressure tanks that you can just pump the energy into and use at your will.
That's pretty smart. And I guess they could. Are the tanks very large? Does it have do they know?
They are very large. Yeah.
Extra large?
It's not the type of thing that you can put in your house very easily, but it basically is like a smaller type of building that you can put next to power generating plants of all sorts.
Okay.
And then have it so that power is stored right there and then.
Nice.
That sounds pretty cool. So like your wind farms and your wave farms can turn that power into something that's held nearby.
Right. When it's actually needed is the big thing.
Yeah.
Because, wind isn't incredibly, it's not helpful. It doesn't come when people want it to come.
And it's known for being a bit fickle that way.
Yeah, it's difficult to train.
Which, CNN does this thing called the Next List.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what it's called. It's like Sanjay
Gupta. It has an X in it also.
There you go. Yeah, that's exactly why I brought it up. the host, Sanjay Gupta, no X in his name, unfortunately.
That we know of.
He goes around and just talks with all tons of different people from various things. And this last one, it was this company that was working on new solar panels and whatnot, but also changing the way they use wind energy. Like instead of building those giant, wind turbine things and stuff like that.
The monsters.
It's actually sort of, unfortunately I didn't catch all of it, but it was more of actual, kind of a plane in a little bit that would actually fly around and just find the air. So instead of having to build all those things, it would just go to it. I don't know exactly all the details, but definitely check it out. You can probably go to CNN.com or something like that. But
interesting.
It sounded really cool.
That's actually really brilliant.
Yeah. From that to something that
completely different.
Yes. The Walking Dead AMC announces new companion spinoff series.
I was hoping somebody would mention this.
This new series is going to debut in 2015, which will come a lot faster than you think, people.
Yeah.
I got to grab this story from IGN. AMC has announced they are in the initial stages of development on what they are calling a companion series to The Walking Dead. Walking Dead's Robert Kirkman, Gail Ann Hurd, and David Alpert are executive producing, with the series aimed to debut in 2015. While The Walking Dead has taken Kirkman's comic book as its inspiration, using most of the same characters, albeit often then veering in its own directions, the new series will be about a different group of survivors. It remains to be seen if we'll meet any of the new characters first on The Walking Dead, or if the show will take place in such an entirely different area of the world that wouldn't be possible. So instead of Atlanta, Georgia, you know, some other place. Quote, building on the success of the most popular show on television for adults 18 to 49 is literally a no-brainer, says Charlie Collier, AMC's president and general manager. We look forward to working with Robert, Gail, and Dave again as we develop an entirely new story and cast of characters. Robert Kirkman said, after 10 years of writing the comic book series and being so close to the debut of our fourth and, in my opinion, best season of the TV series, I couldn't be more thrilled about getting the chance to create a new corner of the Walking Dead universe. The opportunity to make a show that isn't tethered by the events of the comic book and is truly a blank page has set my creativity racing.
I can imagine that race. It's a good race.
So, yeah, who knows? Might not even take place in America.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, who knows? I mean, obviously, wherever they'll pick, they'll probably shoot in Canada, but...
Because most everything that's shot... A lot of things these days are shot in Canada.
I mean, like...
Anything with a sci-fi edge to it, at least.
True, true. All right, so from the very human experience of television and...
To the inhuman experience.
From the battery to the dead to...
To space.
That's where it's going to take place. There you go. Space zombies.
Yes.
Bam. All right. Air batteries.
A space photographer by the name of Terry Hancock is an amateur astronomer, and he has taken upon himself to take pictures of NGC 7635, better known as...
I know that one.
Mm-hmm, yeah. It's a more common name is the Bubble Nebula.
The Bubble Nebula.
Right, there's the air right there.
Bubble Bobble. Huge there.
Yeah, I've heard. All the people look like that, too.
Little dinosaurs. Anyways, he went out for 3 nights to take really long exposures of photographs of the nebula and produced images for the rest of us to consume, and they are fantastic. When you look at the night sky, it all looks kind of white, but in reality, like
you mean black, right?
Or white? If you're the sometimes stars will have a reddish tint, or a planet will have a bit of a tint.
Okay, I see where you're going.
But by and large, the starlight's fairly non-colorous,
not so with nebulas.
Well, nebulas are basically they're stellar nurseries. They are sometimes called. They are the place where like stars and planets begin to form because they have a lot of the raw materials for these things. And then
they got the stuff.
They have the stuff, and then as they start to accumulate a little bit more, the gravity increases, and then as it increases more and more, it becomes a star or a planet, etc.
Becomes bigger stuff.
It does. Anyway, that also means that nebulas are quite hot in terms of like the temperature of which they have in space because of the pressures and proximity and all that other fun physics-y stuff. Anyway, this particular one is about 6 light years wide, which is in astronomical terms rather large. And in human terms, it's really, 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 really big.
6 years for light to travel across it, correct?
Yes, 6 years.
Okay.
And it's...
And light's kind of fast.
Light's pretty fast.
Okay.
It's roughly 6 trillion miles.
That seems, that's bigger than coast to coast in America, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. But anyway, the what makes the a nebula becomes really interesting because since its energy is scattered across a larger surface, it has variances in its temperature, which when measured translate to different colors of light.
Okay.
So the pictures of it makes a really lovely collection of blues and reds and oranges and a few yellows and kind of green.
I have that screensaver.
Yeah, you'll see a lot of these kinds of pictures also on the Hubble Telescope website where they, you know, take pictures of the universe and show it to us. But it's just really cool to you know, you look up at space and you think, oh, that little bright thing, that's one star. But there's a lot more to the space beyond our space than just the stars, than the constellations. So there you go.
Okay, okay. I'm going to throw a robot story at y'all.
More robots.
At first, it's going to sound like one that I've done before, because this is yet another snake robot.
Oh. It's a snake. Badger. No, no. Sorry.
Yeah, snake. That too.
Snake! Nice.
I love the moment where I become disappointed in you guys. I know it's a big reversal. Anyway, the working theory of this new snake droid is to shoot it into space and make it land on Mars.
Cool. So it's a solid snake?
It seems relatively solid at this point.
Kind of a solidus?
Solidus. Solid-ish.
Not a liquid snake.
No. That liquid is right out. It might run on liquid.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, beyond all that, it basically looks like a bunch of little dodgeballs connected together with odd little wheels attached to the outside edges of each of the dodgeballs so that it can kind of slither around and articulate that way. Obviously the idea is that you send a rover up there and whatnot, and it's basically like a really slow car or whatnot, and it has a hard time dealing with like cliff faces and all sorts of things like
that. Cars aren't known for driving up cliffs.
Right. Or difficult terrain in general is not their forte.
Yes.
And they can make them a lot better than our normal like Acuras or whatnot. But a snake can basically slither wherever is the idea.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not straight up a cliff face, but it has the ability to actually go around rocks to be able to jump. Well, not jump, but slither from one area into the next pretty easily. Anyway, so let's see. The scientific and industrial research, shortened to SINTEF in Europe, is the group that's been making this thing, and.
Mm-hmm. They're making a snake probe.
Yeah, pretty much. Anyway, I'll leave it at that. The specifics are evading me at the moment. So,
it sounds really cool, though. Well, if this talk of space has piqued your interest, you should tune in to 103.3 FM at 8 a.m. on October the 5th. That's October the 5th. To listen to an exclusive interview with the Bay Area band Secrets of the Sky and the Silence from Sacramento, being conducted by KSU's Steel Quarry. Secrets of the Sky is making its mark with their new album, To Sail Black Waters. So put on your life preservers and listen to the ultimate interview with Secrets of the Sky and the Silence in support of headliners Birjuana, I think is how it's pronounced. For the show they are doing that night at the Rock Shop in San Jose. That's October 5th at 8 a.m. with Rock Zone. On Rock Zone with Steel Quarry.
Sounds pretty rockin'.
Cool. You know, always good to promote other DJs' shows and all their stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so from the snake thing that you were talking about to to something that can be very important for people who are
we
going to be, well, not so much, okay. Who will be purchasing GTA 5 on the Xbox 360.
Uh-huh.
Now, Rockstar has said you do not want to install the second disc.
Oh.
Okay.
That's unusual.
On your hard drive.
Okay. Does it make it explode?
Not so much explode.
Okay.
So GTA 5 publisher Rockstar has advised against installing the second disc of the game's 360 version. It comes on two discs.
Right.
The first disc, called the install disc, you have to install.
Right.
Okay.
The second disc, called the play disc, do not install that one.
Okay.
Okay.
That one, you just pop in, play it off.
You play it.
You just play it. No, okay. no install.
I'm used to the first disc being the play disc, so this
it's
is
very
throwing
true.
Me off.
It's very true. Luckily, they're labeled. So
okay, good.
Okay. I'm first time I get it, I'm just going to swap the spots on two discs.
Yeah.
It might not work for you then. But
no, I mean,
in
just
case.
In the case.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just remember in your mind where...
Well, I can still read.
Just remember that you can still read.
I'll try and remember that.
Yeah.
I do lose track of it sometimes.
The article that I found actually has a comparison video of what okay. will happen if you install the disc versus just playing it off of there.
Okay.
It's not that it's going to harm your system by any means as far as this. It just has to do with performance. Like, if you watch the video, you'll see, like, a lot of things will pop in. Textures won't show up. It's pretty bad. Like, it's pretty noticeable on stuff. And so it's worth, until they come out with a fix, or if they don't,
or new discs,
yeah, then it's not the disc's fault.
Yeah.
You're confusing people out there. You're like, wait, what? Oh, should I not buy it then? Should I take it back? No, your disc is fine. Unless it's cracked or broken, then take it back.
Yeah, then you have other problems.
Then it's your own. It's your own fault.
Unless you didn't break it, then it's not your fault. See, you're confusing.
No, it's still your fault.
Anyway, I'll have the story up on our Facebook page. Like, all the rest of our stories are on there. You can check them out. Check out videos, pictures, all of that jazz. So, from there, do we have any more stories, or shall we move on? Anything else
I
you
do
wanna...
have one more story. I can
why don't you hit that one?
Okay. E Ink has been around for a long time, and it's made everybody's favorite e-readers at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because it's able to be easily read, and no matter what sort of light and whatnot. It has other vulnerabilities and whatnot, but it's easy to read, and it's pretty small, too.
Very small, and it's also very, very power consumptive, non-consumptive. It's good. It's very kind to batteries.
Right. So something that somebody has been working on for a little while is trying to make an actual companion for cell phones that is an e-ink companion.
I think I saw something about this on a similar thing to this on at CES this year.
Okay.
Or last year.
Well, they've been working on just that idea for a while, but two companies have taken it a step further.
Uh-huh.
Yoda was the thing, Yoda with a T.
Yeah.
Was Yoda. The thing that came out a couple of years back, or at least they were working on a couple of years back and showed off.
Mm-hmm.
This time, the company's Pocketbook and Alcatel
are
showing off similar products, but for different cell phones as their kind of base.
Right.
Anyway, the idea of them is a lot of people like having some sort of case to protect the screen of their cell phones.
Yes.
This is an e-ink case.
Okay.
So it flips over your screen and protects both the e-ink screen and your cell phone screen, and it's metal clad, so it ends
resilient.
Up pretty resilient without, like, directly running a backhoe over it or something like
right,
that.
Right, within reason.
So anyway, Pocketbook, they're working on that for the Galaxy S4 currently.
Mm.
And Alcatel is working with the OneTouch Hero, but they're doing it a slightly different way. They're putting the screen on the outside so that you can end up having access to the information off of your phone for virtually little, like, to none, no power consumption.
Yeah.
Mm, okay.
I mean, it is a little bit fragile, but on the bright side, the e-ink products are a lot less expensive than the screen on your cell phone.
Considerably.
So if you're going to break a screen, you probably would rather break the e-ink screen.
Mm-hmm.
And the bonus, of course, is that you're able to actually use it without unfolding anything or whatnot. You just pop open, pull your phone out of your pocket, and you don't have to turn it on or anything. It just keeps the the information that's relayed to it.
Yeah, the Yoda phone was a similar idea where they have the ink as the back plane of their phone, so that when you turn it, so like if you're in a meeting and you turn your phone face down to be respectful of the meeting, or just
a whole different screen.
Well, it's like you can, that way you can, like, you know, you hear it buzz, you can glance at your screen. Oh no, it's not anything I need to worry about. You can just let it sit there and not have to, like, flip it over to wait what came in. You can just see it, and it's not or it'll give you, like, a clock that you can, like, have it at your fingertips or what have you. I think this idea of expanding what the e-ink displays do, I think, is really cool.
And in addition to that, there's other kind of interesting
there's
stuff
more.
With the
e-ink. Wait, there's more! It will be sold in a store.
The Carta e-ink display that is the display used on the Kindle Paperwhite, it already has a new generation, even though the Paperwhite is out. It's a three-color display, so it's black, white, and a color of your choice.
I remember hearing about they were working on color displays.
So the
idea, if you wanted fuchsia, you could go with fuchsia?
Well, eventually. Oh, okay. Right now, they're just red because they're trying to sell them to grocery stores and stuff like that. Probably Target. Possibly. Be able to quickly and easily...
Targeting grocery stores.
Hey, right. Hey. Nice.
The idea for grocery stores and other types of stores...
Highlight the sale items.
Such as Target. is, right, you can have sale tags on stuff and be able to change them at will. So you get people to come in for the sale and change them halfway through the day or whatnot.
Man.
Or better yet, like, have it be something at the scan with their phone, so you have a record of the person at the store doing the thing to get the deal that they have or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not bad either.
No.
But what it points out here is that it's also pretty useful for if there is some sort of emergency or whatnot. You can change all of these little screens that are being used as price tags into the evacuation route to get out of the store. All sorts of interesting things are coming from this.
Yeah, that's actually really cool. It reminds me, I saw the other day another story that they're thinking of making digital license plates. With a similar idea.
Oh, that's
going to
be trouble.
Most of the hosts thought it had a similar opinion, but the concept of a device that would be that you could use similarly would be kind of cool as well. Yeah.
Well,
for instance,
like, what all would the digital license plate be able to do other than be hacked in order to fool the fuzz?
Well, one of the things they brought up was, like, say the car is stolen. If they can track the actual plates, they can just flip the thing to say stolen car, and so now you have
that
to...
would be pretty good. And then you have the entire freeway, like, urging the cop on to, like, no, that... we went that way.
Yep,
that was me pointing like I'm a driver.
Person. It's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and things of that nature, like say you change states, you don't have to go wait for a new plate to be bought and sent to you. You can just click or whatever, and now your new plates are available on your car in your new town.
Okay.
Stuff, things like that could be kind of cool.
Okay, there so is it's more useful than just
putting prisoners out of work.
Man, I didn't even think about that. That's a valuable paycheck for them too.
Well, maybe they'll learn a new trade. They'll start learning.
What else can they stamp out of metal? Like forks? Is that what they're going to move on to?
Maybe.
Digital forks.
Digital forks.
LED forks.
Now in red.
Your fork will have a little LED screen on it saying,
"What you're
eating? Eat this."
Right.
It's yummy.
You're eating the wrong thing. You yeah. quickly put it down.
You stick it in the food and it gets you the calorie count. And
fat content obscene.
All it says is, don't eat this.
Yeah, do not eat.
Right.
But it looks delicious. Don't eat it. It'll kill you.
You're aww. Giving yourself diabetes.
Well, here's something you don't have to worry about. Digital this, here, that.
Okay.
Fork mm-hmm. sticking in, calorie counts, all that sort of thing.
Okay.
If you want free tickets to a concert, KSU has got you covered. You just listen in and you can win. To see which shows we're giving away tickets for, go to KSU.org and click on promotions.
Maybe not us so much. But
yeah, we don't do it. But right. hey, it's a way to promote the other shows. There are other shows on the station that do give
go
away tickets.
Go search them out now.
So yes, go and do that. Also go to our website, robotsattack.me. And our Facebook page and all that jazz. So yes. you can see all the stories that we mentioned, because now we are going to a music break. I'm going to play the band White Lies with the track There Goes Our Love Again from the album Big TV. And then after that will be a local artist, The Trims, with the second track on the album. I have no idea what it's called because there's no track list. From the album Delete You After. Mm. All right. You are listening to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. That's right. You will embrace Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Center talk show here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. We are now going to discuss some video games.
Woohoo!
All right.
We sort of have a theme tonight.
Yeah.
We do. Okay, gentlemen,
mm-hmm.
let us start off with Flashback.
Flashback?
Yes.
What? It's the only out of theme thing.
Well, it's still, yeah. I actually rather liked the demos. It was solid. It felt very much like the original game, which was kind of cool in terms of controls. The one thing that, the one thing that I feel sort of weird about is the 3D graphics. While they're very cool, they... I'm playing this, I'm like, wow, this is a lot different than I remember the game being in terms of like the nothing wrong with look and feel, just it's such a shift away from my memories of Flashback that it almost feels like it's a different thing that just happens to have the same name as Flashback.
Okay.
But other than that, it's
yeah, the visuals are a lot different.
Mm-hmm. But that if you know, you set that small caveat aside, the game is, I think, quite fantastic, you know, for what it is. It's uh-huh. a side scroller with a degree of mystery in the you know, in the early Amnesiac case file right. kind of thing. So I still like it quite a bit. The voice
and
acting
it also, yeah, it has the mystery of why they chose those voice actors as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The main character sounds like he's
Justin Bieber, right?
He sounds like he's 17 and he's probably supposed to be like in his mid-20s. I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like, I know he's young, but he sounds really, really young.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, other than that and occasional unevenness in some of the voice acting, it's not too bad.
It's like Agent Cody Banks. Is what it seems like.
Yeah, yeah. This guy should be
a good shout out to Agent Cody Banks right there.
Yeah, the voice is a little bit too young for what this character is supposed to be, which is an elite agent of some sort. And it's like, doesn't seem quite right. But the game, cool. The gameplay itself is good, worth a try. Awesome. You should definitely pick it up if you're into like side scrollers at all.
Cool, cool. So. Because last week, Jason spoke about it, and then this mm-hmm. week, Caleb had a chance to get his hands on it. So moving on from Flashback, let us now move to Dark Souls.
Okay.
Souls. Wait, why are you pointing at me? I've already talked about this.
I actually got to play it the other day. Jason was gracious enough to lend me his copy for a little while, and it is an interesting game.
I also pointed at you because it's your chance to ask K Caleb and I questions about it, since you are the Dark Souls master.
I don't know about master.
Of this group.
Out of the group.
Okay, well, first off, I want to know your feeling of the difficulty of it.
Its learning curve is, I would say, steeper than most.
Okay.
But that doesn't...
And I sort of cheat-cheated you a little bit. I tried to stay away from doing that as much as possible, but...
You did clue me into a few things, which was helpful, but the fact that it has like an FPS style camera, even though it's a third person view, I think throws a lot of people off to begin with.
Oh, okay.
I would suspect the idea that even though the camera's looking this other direction, your character's facing this way and he's going to still fight that facing that direction can be
especially
a bit
with
off-putting.
As frantic as the stuff sometimes ends up being. Mm-hmm. And I know it gives me a headache. So
yeah, the combat.
But I play it anyway.
That's just how good it is. The combat system is, I thought, pretty unique. Like the way
you really want, going back to the camera, that like mm-hmm. you really need to get a hand on the click in the right lock and like, you know, rotating from different guys. Like, see, if the camera is a thing that bothers you, like,
right,
that's definitely a trick to master.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. The controls are a bit different because it's, you know, it's combinations of using your triggers for different effects and different handedness. The
shoulder buttons, right? Or
no, the triggers. The shoulder buttons themselves cycle through your items that are, if you're in the menus, it cycles through the menus. Which the menus are the one thing where I have a bit of a gripe.
The bumpers are like, at least when I was playing, was like your right hand, like kind of a fast attack.
The right
trigger was the stronger swing.
The heavy attack, okay. Yeah,
so
that's right.
They did move, when you had the menu open up in the right corner, they did cycle through mm-hmm. there, mm-hmm. which, yeah, I think I know what you're going to say. I think was something that was a complete pain in the butt. Like, the game, one of the things you have to get used to if you've never played Dark Souls is, like, the game is totally in real time, like, just about everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's so used to now, like, you push start or you open a menu or something and like the game itself pauses.
Right.
Not in Dark Souls. Mm-hmm. No, when I was going through menus and stuff, I was like, guys were attacking me. I was like, wait, what's going on? I opened up a menu to like arm myself and do stuff. You're not supposed to attack me. I'm supposed to be safe. And then when you have the menu up in the corner, if you haven't completely backed out of that, you could be in the game still playing.
And trying to attack.
And trying
the
to
menu.
Attack, and you're moving the menu, and I'm like, why am I dying now?
Yeah. I'm hitting the buttons.
The menu's still open.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not the worst thing ever, but these aspects are a vast departure from most of the other games you'll be playing. Yeah. On any of the current round of consoles, or even the next round of consoles. So,
and their way of aiding that is to have a separate like menu system by the D-pad for cycling through things quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But still, that takes getting used to, like setting that up when you have a clean, clear spot. And so.
Yes, yeah, you learn quickly to start analyzing your environment for potential threats before you jump into the menus. All of that said, that even with those gripes, I still think it's a really fantastic game experience because it's very different, and I thought it was actually really interesting because I think I was sort of better prepped for the combat system shift because I also played the demo of Xenoclash relatively recently.
Yeah,
and
that'll do it too.
It has a very similar style of fighting.
It's literally like punch with one arm or the other, and combos to do with that. So mm-hmm. yeah,
hmm. And Dark Souls is I don't know if it's refined, but slightly simplified version of that. So it's more focused on doing faster things, a little more cinematic, for lack of a better phrase. Yeah. And
I don't know if I want to know what sort of weapons you used in the game, Joe.
I used.
Which character did you pick?
Which character did you pick?
I picked the Pyromancer.
That's the same one I did.
Oh, really? Interesting. Okay.
I did because that one was recommended to me as like a first playthrough.
Huh.
So
has a little bit of everything.
I picked just because I'm like, oh, he has a magic user and has this, and looks like he might be a decent fighter. So I just thought that that'd be a good idea.
So yeah, it'd be the same. Okay. Hand axes and
Oh, okay.
Shields.
So yeah. Neither one of you got to any of the other weapons and whatnot.
The only other weapon that I used was a broken sword, and I don't think that counts.
I found more weapons, but it said like my stats weren't good at the present to use the other thing, so I stuck with. I ended up getting like a battle axe, I found that and used that, and different, you know, some better armor and that sort of thing, but and a better shield, a couple better shields, but but yeah, mostly stuck with.
Yeah, there. How did you like the separate hand for using the shield versus the shoulder versus trigger on that?
Before you answer that,
yes,
I'm going to tell the folks one last time about the San Jose Animal Advocates. If you're an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer, you can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for our pets and our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org. It's all one word, minus the .org. Or look for them on Facebook.
Very good. The shield and alternate hand, I actually liked it quite a bit. Because at least philosophically, because it did feel like I was a medieval warrior with a shield on one arm.
Kind of puts you in it a little bit more, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, you're not like... Yeah, and then you're swinging with the other hand as fast as you possibly can, or as fast as your stamina meter will let you swing.
Right.
And I didn't bother me much. I liked it. It was frustrating because it was a change, but it wasn't like bad because it was poorly done. It was just different.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which I think is probably the thing that most people that play Dark Souls are encountering is the fact that it's just really, really different. And they're not, I think a lot of people just aren't sure how to deal with that.
I can see that.
Yeah. I will say to wrap up this game, cause we need to move on to the next one.
True.
I would say I love the world that the game takes place in.
Mm-hmm.
I like the sort of style of it and everything. I don't know if it's a game for me as far as the combat. I wouldn't actually mind watching someone play who was good. Mm-hmm. I would not want to watch someone who's not good. I can do that by just playing it. But
or YouTube. There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like I really like a lot of it, but I don't know if I want to play anymore.
Okay.
So yeah, that's my take on it. So moving on from Dark Souls, we have one last game before we get to our final segment of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Diablo 3. Quick thoughts, gentlemen. We all got to play the demo.
Mm-hmm.
First, what did you play?
I played a sorceress. Female sorcerer. And I thought it was pretty fantastic.
Okay. I played a barbarianess. I believe it was called warrior, but
was it?
No, it was barbarian.
Barbarian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Was it sorceress or wizard?
The wizard was a lower an unlockable. I thought.
Yeah, it's sorcerer is
because there's barbarian, a magic user. What we're trying to figure out: demon hunter and monk.
And then there's the witch doctor.
Okay. And the witch doctor. So the top two were the ones that were unlocked, the magic user and the barbarian. So
okay.
It was either. So
yeah, I think
I'm pretty sure it was sorcerer. But,
okay.
So yeah. What about you? Which
I did barbarian.
Okay.
So
male or.
Yeah.
Okay.
Had
you ever played any other Diablo games before?
Not extensively, but I have played samplings of. Well, solid samplings of the other two Diablo games, and I think it's actually almost better than playing it on computer in certain respects.
I think it's better hands down, because I tried so hard to get into those games because everybody I knew was going nuts about them, loved everything about them, and somebody at the console right here, for instance, And I could not get used to playing a game like that with a mouse. Yeah, it just felt so weird to me. But on a console, it's like absolutely smooth. It's so weird having a game be in its third incarnation and have it finally come to a console where I think it was meant to be all along is the way it feels.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is kind of nice not having to click all the gold pieces and all of the other items to pick them up. You just walk over it. It's like, that's actually rather nice.
Yeah, and I love how unlocking different abilities, it just ends up like swapping out a button map. It feels a lot like setting up your character in Mass Effect, Take a Shot.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much the same sort of thing, but it feels super smooth. And it's really fun figuring out the right combination of your weapons with the different special abilities, too. I don't know how it worked with, like, a sorcerer character, if that mm-hmm. was as much of a thing.
It's still up to the damage, but you don't use them quite the same way.
Okay. But, yeah, like, it was fun, like, starting out with kind of a weird, like, slashy burny move, and then you get cleave, which anybody who's a fan of D&D, it's like, okay, yeah. I'm booting that right up. That's going to be my thing. And then finding out later that if you dual wield with the first one, it's like crazy cool.
Yeah.
So as our resident expert on D&D, Joe, or Diablo, what is your feeling? Single D.
I haven't played Diablo 3 on PC, so I can't speak for how it is on there. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. I pretty much like stopped the demo after a little bit and was like, I'm going to buy this, so mm-hmm, I don't want to like spoil anymore.
Good thing is it's a really long demo, number one.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do plan on continuing with those characters, it does have portable characters, so
that's
you
nice.
Can continue with them.
Yeah, that's a really good idea.
That's
I think.
Smart yeah. with the demo. Like, mm-hmm. Here, yeah, play it, and then...
It's a long demo. I think I was on hour 3, so I don't know how long it goes. I suspect, but I don't know.
Yeah, definitely worth it in my book. All right, that has been the game discussions. We are now going to wrap up the show with a new feature that Jason and Caleb are going to present.
Yeah. We're calling this segment "I Found This," which is where we all have the option of highlighting something really cool we found on the internet Just something that we found, you know, that's the whole idea.
I'd probably put it more like, I found this.
That's how he would say it.
It's a matter of presentation. Yeah. And
it'd be different for everyone.
It's going to change for each of us.
Exactly.
Might change from day to day for each of us also.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I found this, and that's kind of resurrecting the old Zeppelin idea. Of course, I think just about everybody, no matter how young or aged you are, has probably heard of the entire disaster with the Hindenburg.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it was the biggest, grandest Zeppelin of its day. It was the mm-hmm. Titanic of them, and it ended very similarly.
Yes.
But the compromise that they made that they suffered over for a long time with that airship
mm-hmm.
was whether to use helium or hydrogen and what sort of materials to use on the ship also. And mm-hmm. in the end, they chose kind of the worst combination of the two. They chose a very flammable hydrogen and a very flammable substance, balsa wood. As the skeleton of it's a large portion of the skeleton of this thing,
plus the coatings on the surface coating of the exterior was also highly flammable.
Right. Actually, from what I understand, that was the biggest thing, that hydrogen burns so fast that it's not a big deal, but that coating is what ended up sticking it to people and all of this other stuff.
Okay.
So anyway, huge disaster, tons of photos that are going to sit in history forever,
mm-hmm.
and it single-handedly destroyed the reputation of rigid airships, and we've had nothing but blimps fueled by hydrogen or helium ever since.
Mm-hmm.
So we've kind of run into some problems for trying to make anything that large ever again. And somebody came up with some pretty interesting ideas on how to do it. They basically made an airship submarine, in my view.
Okay.
It's a solid metal shell, mm-hmm. so it's really sturdy, and it holds the air in exactly the same shape no matter what. Mm-hmm. And the way that it functions, instead of having fan blades control whether it's going up and down and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
it works like a submarine. It works off of compressed air, sort of. Mm-hmm. It works off of compressed helium.
Mm-hmm.
So when they want it to go down, they compress the helium, and so it ends up nowhere near as buoyant.
Mm.
When they want it to go up, they fill it with the expanded helium, and so it works exactly the same way the submarine does in our current military or where not.
Suck in water, let go of water.
Well, it's all about compressed air in those.
Ah, okay, that's right.
So anyway, and none of this would be possible without this rigid aluminum shell that it has, because otherwise a normal blimp would end up having problems because it would overexpand or whatnot. So
it also makes it more reliable in more harsh weather conditions as well.
That's true. Mm. It doesn't have to worry about wind affecting it near as much.
Mm-hmm.
And it ends up looking super cool, too. It's a giant torpedo in the air. And somebody brought up, too, that it ends up looking like the ship from Flight of the Navigator. Not quite as cool, but...
it reminded me more of like something from like the old Buck Rogers, like a really art deco looking thing with like high chrome and then long sweeping lines.
That's true. And it basically has miniature aircraft surfaces. It has all of the same wings. It's just they're miniaturized compared to the size of the ship.
Thing, yeah.
So other than that, its main way of being propelled and whatnot is still different types of fans and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't have to rely on the fans for actually moving it up and down. It's being produced by a company called Aeros Corp, and they are not surprisingly calling it the Aeros Craft, which I think is kind of a lame name. I think they need to work on that a little bit.
Marketing department and engineering department weren't talking to each other that day.
Right. The project has been largely funded by the U.S. government. It received about $35 million in R&D funds. Largely because the airship filled a really nice gap for how they could transport materials way back in the day. Right now, what we ended up replacing it with is the helicopter, and the helicopter chews through gasoline nothing. There's no way to make any sort of low power consumption helicopter because there's no way to pack that much power into a battery or anything like that, for instance.
Not really that safe, it seems like, either.
They're a little finicky under different weather conditions.
Big rotors do tend to catch on things. So anyway, even though the speed of this thing is only like 20 miles per hour, it ends up being a really nice compromise for being able to get large materials from one place to another safely and being able to drop it any place, basically.
Yeah, you don't need a landing pad or a runway of any sort, really.
Right. You can have like trees, and the other sort of neat thing about this design is that the entire sort of functional transport part of the entire thing is basically a cable pulley system that just drops the entire belly of the thing. I forget how many feet, but it just literally drops the entire belly straight onto the ground.
Okay.
And so you can unload things straight on and off of it as if it was one of the really giant aircraft.
Okay.
Of course, it's made with all new materials, not just the aluminum shell, but it's largely carbon fiber and whatnot. But yeah, it's just...
It's a really cool idea.
Right, and it's something that we already knew about. The reason why the Zeppelins were so popular is that they could do the exact same thing. They could land them wherever they wanted, and have like day cruises for whoever had the money to do it.
Yeah, in the article they mentioned that they were thinking of paying for a lot of the stuff back by making like cruise liners out of these things,
right?
Effectively,
the first generation, that's their idea. It's going to be cruise liners, and even it sounds like one of them, probably the biggest one, is going to end up being basically rental property, or like kind of a hybrid between that and a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can literally live on this thing for its journey wherever.
Oh, okay.
Which I guess it's sort of the same idea as a cruise anyway.
Yeah, well...
I think it's supposed to be more permanent than that.
Yeah.
From there.
Right, yeah.
I
always think about in Firefly, I forget what they named it, the estates that were like the floaty estates where all the super rich people lived. I'm thinking eventually these things are going to be that.
Yeah, it's possible. The thing that also reminds me of is the building in New York, the really tall one that it's famous for, but my brain is just completely blanking on its name. The big spire off the top of it.
The Empire State
Empire
Building.
State
yes,
Building?
Thank you.
Yes. Okay.
The Empire State Building, that the big long needle on the top of it was actually intended to be a
tether. Statue of Liberty?
Yeah, it has a unique design to it because it is a Zeppelin
Chrysler
tower.
Building?
Mm-hmm. It was a
Golden Gate Bridge?
I don't think
Brooklyn
they planned
Bridge.
Doing that.
London Bridge. Wait, no.
Yeah. Big Ben.
Yeah, so if this actually succeeds, that it'd be kind of interesting if they turned that back into a Zeppelin tower.
Right. Well, and it makes me wonder, too, because they just got done, or they just, I don't know where they're at in it, but they started doing the renovation on that giant Zeppelin hangar at Moffett Field.
Oh.
And since this eventually is going to be a government project, I'm wondering if that's what they were kind of prepping for.
Because
they've been working on this project since 96.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
It's a few years to spend on a project.
Well, if you want to find out more, I've posted the link on our Facebook page with the new title segment. I found this.
Sweet, sweet.
So you can all check it out. See the picture that we mentioned that someone said looked like the Flight of the Navigator. But
right. You can decide whether we were full of it.
You can decide
on
for
that.
Yourself, or the person who said that.
Whoever that was. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's going to do it for the show. Hopefully you enjoyed that new segment. I'm sure we'll have it again down the line.
Yep.
But we're going to wrap it up for tonight. Thanks for listening. One last time, how you can communicate, check out previous shows and all that jazz. Caleb. How can they do that?
Number one, you can send messages by Zeppelin.
Not quite yet, but we're getting there. Now, the best way to find almost everything that relates to what we do is on robotsattack.me. That's our own website. It has the archive episodes. And if you hit the interact button, that will link you to our email address, robotsattackshow@gmail.com, or our Twitter account, robotsattackme, or our Facebook page, which is a little bit more difficult to find because you have to do a search on Facebook for Robots Attack, two words. But if you use the link, it'll take you right there. So, there you go.
There you have it. Remember, you're listening to KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. I am Joe. We had Caleb and Jason.
Woohoo!
We hope you have a wonderful rest of the week. If you're going to be playing GTA 5, have fun. Don't do anything crazy in the real world. Just do it all crazy in there.
Yeah. And let us
and
know what you're doing.
Remember the disc thing.
Yes. Remember the disc thing. If you're getting it on 360 like I am,
don't swap the discs unless you can read.
Unless you can read. That's a very good tip
right.
from Jason. If you remember anything from the show, remember that.
Yes.
Remember to read.
Remember to read. That's our last tip for you.
Ding, 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 ding.
All right. Have a great weekend. We will let you know when the new schedules start up, if our show, what day it changes to, time and all that jazz, just stay tuned.
Mm-hmm.
We will let you know. All right. Take it easy, everybody. We are out of here.
Raccoon. Veronica. Nicto.